Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, I hope all of you know what that music means. We are here. It's the Writer's Block Thursday evening in Los Angeles. Welcome, welcome. I'm Russ Avison along with...
Bobby Jean Bell.
Bobby, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting in the sidekick chair with you tonight.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to be back in here with you tonight.
I'm so glad to see you.
We were trying to figure out, I think it's been a couple months since we got together.
At least.
We should do this more often.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fun having you here, Russ. I'm just delighted you could sit in tonight for our host, Jim Christina, who was not able to be here this evening.
Well, so tell them why he's not here.
Well, he's just having a little surgery this afternoon that was just going to make it impossible for him to be with us tonight.
But the good news is that actually what they went in to do, didn't have to do it. He's fine. He's already home, and he's listening to us and probably saying, what are they doing? They're butchering my show.
I didn't know that they didn't need to do that. I'm so glad you just shared that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was talking to Jerry during the day, and
oh, great.
Everything was fine.
Great.
So that's good, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Yes. I know he'll be back here next week.
Absolutely.
And then I get to come back 2 weeks from tonight.
I know, when I will be here, not here because of our concert series.
Yeah, I should come in and crash the party one time when you and Jim are here. Just
I wish you would.
Yeah. So what's been happening? Tell us a little bit about your concert series, because I only hear when you're not here.
Absolutely.
And I never get to hear it from you.
It is a once-a-month concert. They're held the fourth Thursday of every month in Old Town New Hall at the Repertory East Playhouse. The next show coming up is the fourth Thursday of this month, which I think is the 25th. I'd have to look at a calendar to be sure. But it's the fourth Thursday, and we have a group coming in, Jerry Hall and Trick Shot, a wonderful Western band. It's going to be a lot of fun. My husband, Jim, who's here in the studio, always fixes bison chili, which is much sought after. Some people say they come for the chili and they stay for the music, but they're filmed by our local media outlet in our community, SCV-TV. They have filmed 80 or more since 2010, and they're always a really great time. And if you want tickets,
wonderful.
You can give us a call at 661-347-9700 and say that you heard about it on the Writer's Block, and we'll give you a discount.
Really?
The tickets, yeah.
Should I call now? Or,
sure.
Or
well, no, we're not home. You have to leave a message.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, enough banter, because we really have an exciting guest on tonight, and I think she has probably more to share with us than we can fit into the hour. Carolyn Howard Johnson is the author of the multi-award-winning series of books, How to Do It Frugally series, and these are for writers, including USA Books News winner of the Frugal Book Promoter. An instructor for UCLA's Extension renowned writers program for nearly a decade, she believes in entering and winning, of course, contests and anthologies as an excellent way to separate a writing from the hundreds of thousands of books that get published each year, which has probably been the reason why I've not delved into this as quickly as I'd wanted to, because there are hundreds of thousands of books. Two of her favorite awards are Woman of the Year in Arts and Entertainment, given by the members of the California Legislature, and Women Who Make Life Happen, given by the Pasadena Weekly Newspaper. She is also a poet, a novelist. She loves passing along the tricks of the trade that she's learned from marketing, those so-called hard-to-promote genres. We welcome Carolyn Howard Johnson. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello. It's nice to meet you both by phone, if not by person.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm sorry. I had my own operation recently. We talked about that earlier, so here I am sitting behind a computer instead of getting to be in your wonderful studio. But I appreciate that accommodation.
Well, you've done so much throughout your career that I'm sure we could probably find another spot to bring you in person sometime.
Yeah, you almost need to be here every other month or something, Carolyn.
Really?
My gosh.
Oh, that sounds good. I'll be a regular. We can make it a foursome frequently.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, well, I started out in journalism very, very young. So in a year so long and far away ago that I wouldn't mention it because it would tell my age. And it was in the days when women often gave up their careers in order to have families and do other things that were expected of them. And so I gave up journalism after I had had a really nice job with Salt Lake Tribune and with Good Housekeeping Magazine in New York, and ended up opening my own retail business. But, you know, everything I did when I finally decided to get back to writing has contributed to my, in quotes, new career, or my back to the future career, or whatever you'd want to call it.
You know, that's interesting, because just before we came on the air, Bobby Jean and I were talking about my profession is a dog trainer. And yes, and I do very well with it. But what's interesting is that although I wish I'd found it sooner in my life, my career of sales up to this point really prepared me to be a good dog trainer. And I never thought about it until I got into this. So yeah. I get what you're saying about, you know, you're preparing you for your second career, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that happens is that the second career or third or fourth or, you know, wherever you are along the line grows incrementally faster than it did the first time around, because you're building on what you already know.
Well, hopefully you're smart enough to do that.
So Gladwell says it takes 10 years to even think about getting a foothold in a new industry. And that's probably right, but if you've had footholds in other industries, then you've done other networking, you have other knowledge, and it really doesn't take that long.
Right, that makes sense. And you've traveled extensively, I think. How many countries, Carolyn, have you been to?
Well, you know, I was just trying to talk my husband into printing out the UNESCO list of all of the countries in the United Nations so we could recount. I think it's 89 countries.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you have this astounding background. I think a book that I'm going to recommend you write is on time management.
Oh, yeah. Well, the time management equate. I can give it to you. You don't need a whole book. You
really
just have to love what you're doing, and I bet Russ agrees with that.
That is true.
You love what you're doing, and you don't mind if you work. You're not working overtime. You're having fun, right?
That's really true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's very often that I will go maybe 3-4 months without actually taking a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate when I do get time off, but when I don't have the time off, it's not like I miss it. Because I am enjoying what I'm doing.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. And the busman's holiday kind of thing, when my husband and I travel, I'm still writing. It's inspiration. I have my notepad. When I go to a movie, I have my notepad. When I, you know, it's always with me. It's just, and the more I do it, the better I think I get, because I'm so in tune, and I notice things. I see things that I didn't see before.
It's like flexing a muscle. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know, where,
yeah,
it becomes, it's, yeah, even more than habit. It's just there. It's how,
exactly,
you operate. Yeah, absolutely. Now, yeah. I know Russ is, Russ and I both read some of your poetry. Russ got into the poetry a little more than I did because I was just so enthralled with Frugal Book Promoter. So let's talk, do you want to, Russ,
no,
talk
go
a little
ahead.
Bit? No, go ahead. Why don't you talk a little bit
All
about,
right.
let's talk a little bit about your poetry. So we get to meet you a little bit as a writer.
Okay. Well, this was a real challenge for me. Imperfect Echoes, which I worked on. I am not a poetry reader. I am not a poet. And so it was, honestly, I had to force myself to sit down and say, I'm going to attack this and I'm going to see what I get out of it. No, but wait, there's more.
No, wait, there's more.
There is, because I started out with it and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, okay, well, here we go. And I get into it and I would read possibly a dozen of the pieces in there, and then I would come upon one that really touched me. And I thought, that was good. And I would go back and read that one sometimes 3 or 4 times. And some of them are not very long, but I would read them, and then and so I actually I don't, do you have the book in front of you?
Sure. Oh, sure.
Because there were a couple that I thought would be nice to read. I didn't want to pick any real long ones, but the giraffe.
Oh, that's really short, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's short, yeah. But it made me smile. Yeah. It made me really smile when I read that. So I thought maybe you might want to read that. And then I'll just tell you, we'll get to them in a few minutes, but the one, A Little Tiff, which I also enjoyed. And then The Fragile Art of Warfare, which I thought was really interesting.
Okay.
So why don't we start with the...
selection, too, quite varied. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, The Giraffe I wrote... years ago when I was in Africa with my grandson, and we went, four generations of us went. I had a now deceased aunt who was getting blind, and she said the one thing she regretted was not having been to Africa to see Africa before she got blind. And my daughter was sitting with me at the time, and she looked at me and said, you know what, we need to sell off our Disney collection and go to Africa. And that's exactly what we did. We eBay was just getting started, and we had gift stores at the time, so we had access to people who wanted to buy these lovely collectibles. We sold our Disney stuff, and we went to Africa, and my aunt loved the zebras because they were black and white, and she could see them well. And... my grandson got chased by monkeys and has forever hated monkeys since then. And we had a glorious time. And the giraffe was one that was endangered. And I walked up and wanted to pet him or her. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote that little poem right afterward. Shall I read that now?
Please do.
Yes.
Please do.
Yes.
Okay. The giraffe. Unaware he was endangered, I unaware he might be dangerous, he reached for me, barriers no match for his neck, sniffed my hair, and with a tongue generous as my head, kissed my face.
I love it. I'm smiling again.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I also liked the use of endangered and mm-hmm. dangerous, mm-hmm. the way they used them in the first two lines. Really nice. Really nice. You know what?
I
think Jim's calling us in. Let me bring him in here for just a moment.
Oh, dear. Uh-oh. Under the ether, Jim.
Are you there?
I am here.
Hi.
Welcome, Jim. How you feeling?
More better, gooder.
Excellent. Well, say hi.
That's good.
Say hi to Carolyn.
I actually got to go home today.
Yeah, we mentioned that you were here for a very short time and back home, which was unexpected.
Yep. Yeah, it was unexpected for me, too.
So you and Carolyn can exchange...
Jerry had to cancel her party. What?
I was going to say, you and Carolyn can exchange war stories because she was in for some surgery recently also.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Mine wasn't near as serious as yours, though.
Well, mine wasn't that serious.
And I mean, I got to come home as soon as I, as soon as I woke up on both of mine. Mine were outpatient things.
Oh, mine too.
But it'll be a while before Jim wakes up.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Jim, is there anything?
But I'm all done now.
Is there anything you'd like to ask Carolyn?
Are you having a good time, Carolyn?
I am. This is a good crew. No wonder you called in. You just couldn't resist them, could you?
Well, no, I couldn't. Besides that, I told you, I promised you that I would, if I could call in, I would.
Jim, I don't know if you know, but Jerry had texted me earlier, and she says, well, Jim's home, so he might call in, so don't tell him I said that. And I wrote back and said, well, I really don't have to answer if I don't want to.
Well, you didn't for the longest time.
No, I didn't.
You hijack my show, you don't answer my phone.
That's right. I'll let you have it back next week.
Hey, I'm 26 of this month, Tuesday night, 4:30, Sutter's Mill. Okay. Writer's Block crew.
Okay, got it on the calendar. That'll be so much fun.
Oh, good. Now everybody who's listening is going to come crash the party.
Well, that's okay.
I hope they do.
We'll sign autographs, right?
Right?
Sure.
Well, look, you guys have a good show. I just wanted to let you know that I'm alive and kicking.
Jim, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, I will. And Bobby, I'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
We have what's his name? Peter Streitz and Entourage tomorrow, or next week.
Next week, perfect. Yes.
Yeah. And Carolyn, it's so nice to talk to you.
Thanks for calling in. It was good.
Sure.
You kept your promise.
In a frugally delicious sort of way.
All right, take care, Jim. Good night.
Okay, guys, have a good show. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take just a quick little break, and we'll be back with Carolyn Howard Johnson.
Target Freight Management every show, and we mentioned that they have a full truckload service that's the best in the industry. But have we mentioned that TFM Truckload gets your freight there every time on time? No muss, no fuss, at the rates you need for your transportation bottom line. Call today at 1-844-653-7789 and tell them you heard it on the Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you. And while we're at it, if you are an LTL shipper, you are probably looking for the best rates at the lowest hassle possible.
Absolutely.
Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just the ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web. Call today. You won't be sorry you did.
You enunciate so well. I like it. FMI. Well, if you're
good
just joining us, good job. Yes, indeed. And if you're just joining us, where the heck you been? But we are here with Carolyn Howard Johnson. And I am going to ask you, how long through your life have you been kidded about your last name?
Only since I was married and got the last name Johnson.
Oh, okay. So, but you've been married a long time, yes?
Name, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
We were orange roof here, and the young people don't even get that.
They don't even know.
They don't even know, right? Yeah.
And I was ready to come by for an ice cream.
Right, yeah. Well, you come by anyway. I'll find something for you. I'm not much of a cook, and I once made ice cream using whole eggs, and I didn't beat them up first.
Oh,
and I made ice cubes with frozen egg eyeballs in it. I think I can do at least that well again for you.
Okay. Bobby Jean, mark her off the list for no dinner invites. Okay. All right, Carolyn, we were talking about some of the poetry, and I mentioned two other titles. Would you like to tell us about A Little Tiff?
Yes. I wrote that after my mother died, or close to when she was dying, and I was having trouble with my brother. And I think that's kind of common in friends, in most families, don't you?
I lost my mother 3 weeks ago, and I've been having trouble with my sister. So it all plays out.
Yeah, the worst comes out in us. It's called A Little Tiff. So debate, dispute, bicker, squabble, wrangle, riled, argue, angry as hell, fuming, furious, irate, livid, infuriated, incensed, enraged, totally pissed off. Today my mother decided to live. Played the prodigal son game, only it was an updated version, a preference for son over daughter. And I learned to call a spat, an argument, a fight to the death. Oh, how I learned that I am not the sweet little poet girl everyone thinks me. Most of all, me.
Oh, lots of people can relate to that.
Yeah. And Rush, you know, I think you intentionally picked out, or maybe it's just your sweet disposition, you picked out all the apolitical poems.
Yes, I did. Although, honestly, it wasn't intentional. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Let me ask you, when you sit down to write something like A Little Tiff, Is this something that just comes to you and it's done in 5 minutes, or do you work on it and think and come back to it?
Oh, I know people who think and work and think and rewrite and rewrite and make 15 different poems before they finish one. I am really lucky. I took I was mentored by a very famous LA poet named Suzanne Lummis, and she was mentored by Philip Levine, who was once our poet laureate, and he started the Fresno School of poetry. And I'm not sure it works for all of those who abide by his rules, so to speak, or his inspiration, but in general, his poetry reads like journalism. There are periods and commas, and if you pay no attention to the line breaks whatsoever and just read it as if you were reading a paragraph, that's what it is. So I just sit down and write, and then I break it into lines, fudge with it a little bit, and I have a poem. Very rarely do I struggle. I hate to admit it with the name writer's block, but I really,
well,
I really don't know what that is.
Well, and we gather that, and probably will ask you to address that question a little bit later, more specifically. But
we have to go now. It's like we're done.
No spoiler there.
We've done that, been there.
You write poetry. You write nonfiction. Obviously, you write fiction. What is it about poetry? You know, why poetry? What is it about poetry that captures your heart and your imagination?
Well, you know, all those years I wasn't writing, between writing job and finally getting back to it, I was just desperate to write the great American novel, except for once not have it set in the South. State of Utah.
Yeah.
And when I did it, I loved doing it, but I realized as I was writing it that what I really liked was symbol and image and simile and metaphor. And so for me, it was as much about the words as it was about the story, although sometimes I write stories in poetry too. But that's sort of how it came about, because I didn't start writing poetry until I guess I've been doing it about 5 years now.
Oh.
And I just love it. I really love it. And one of the beauties of poetry is that you can sit down and do it. If we take a little boat cruise through the harbor at Long Beach, I can write a couple haikus while I'm sitting on the boat. It's not something that you have to be immersed in. Whereas a long story or a novel, you know, you're kind of stuck. You're stuck with it, or you give it up. You might give it up forever because it's hard to get back to.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. Your first novel, This Is the Place, won 8 awards, and that's your great American novel that was set in Utah, right?
Yes.
And in your book on
it was published in 2001, and it is still available thanks to the wonderful internet and the wonderful Amazon. It's out of print, but it's still available. You know, they have a new and used book feature.
Okay.
On Amazon.
Because I know, and I would definitely like to read that book. In your book,
well,
on...
I don't feel guilty recommending it because it'll cost you maybe 80 cents.
Well, in your book on Frugal Book Promoter, you talk about doing book signings and setting up book signings and such, and you make a reference to your very first book signing at the Autry Museum. And was it for this book? Was it for This Is the Place?
It was for This Is the Place, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it was really fun. They let me use their auditorium, just beautiful. And honestly, I think I invited everyone and their puppies, not to make a pun there for you, Russ, but we had a list of 35,000 names from the days when we were retailers, and I sent invitations out to every single one. I can't tell you, I was I was so jazzed.
Oh,
it was such a wonderful experience.
Well, and that
one of the best parts of writing is having your very first book
signing. And that was so that was in the Wells Fargo Theater, which seats about 200 and something, I think.
Yeah, we packed it.
Yeah.
We packed it. There was standing room only. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. In 2001, because I was on...
Although I'm sure a lot of those 35,000 people who were used to buying, you know, fine gifts and things like Precious Moments and Waterford Crystal were not necessarily readers, but a lot of them were.
Well, sure. So let's see. What else did I want to say about that? So that was your first novel. And then tell us a little bit about, because do we want to go ahead and get into the Frugal?
Well, I was going to have her read that last poem.
Oh, that's right. One more poem. I'm sorry, Carolyn. One more poem, because it's so much fun to hear you read.
And Carolyn,
do you know the page on this one, Russ?
Try 109.
He's got it in his 11.
I have it on my Kindle, so I don't know if it shows up that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, here we go.
Okay, and then also, surprise. Before you start reading this one, I just want you...
No, that's not it. That's from the observation deck.
Okay, well, then it doesn't...
That's the poem I wrote about a man I observed when I was on a cruise.
Oh, it's the next one after the observation deck. It's the very next one.
It's the next one, okay. Okay, The Fragile Art of Welfare.
Yes.
Of Warfare. Oh. Okay, this is easy to introduce. It's just about a dream I had.
Okay.
And I had the dream after I had read Lisa C's first book.
Oh, she's
so... Snowflower and the Magic.
Yeah, she's so
magic
great.
Fan.
Yeah, she's a great writer.
I think
writer.
That's the name, yeah.
Yeah.
So this Fragile Art of Warfare, in my dreams, the Chinese call it clouds and rain, this delicate tingling art, restraint intensifies pleasure, like a bow brought taut, a kind of warfare, this love, waiting for the moment exquisite, without flint or force, only your whisper, your gentle touch, tender persuasion to make me want your way.
Outstanding.
And that's a little bit political too, Russ. Mm-hmm. A little bit political.
Well, yes, it could be interpreted that way, I think.
It uses sex to show that there are better ways to handle things than the way we're doing things now.
Yes, and yes. Although Bill Clinton had that a little bit mixed up. But, no, it's really true, though. And the art of persuasion, maybe you could even call it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, very good. We're going to go on to Bobby Jean's got some questions about the Frugal Promoter, but... I'd like you to just kind of think about one more poem that possibly at the end of the hour we could have you read before we leave.
Okay. Well, you want me to decide?
Yes, sure. Of course. You must have a favorite one or two.
You can do one of the political ones.
Got it.
Oh, you've got it. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I think let's do this. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Frugal Promoter. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Sutter's Mill in Simi Valley is one of the finest steakhouses in Ventura County. At Sutter's, you'll find casual dining with a touch of elegance in a rustic steakhouse atmosphere. Their well-trained staff strives to provide their guests with a great dining experience. At Sutter's, you will find the finest in steaks and seafood, along with specialty items such as barbecued pork ribs and deep-fried chicken or shrimp. Sutter's offers a full bar with special happy hour pricing and never charges for a corkage fee. Visit their website at SutterForDining.com. That's Sutter's, the number four, dining.com, to make online reservations and view their hours and menus. Their menu also offers a summer special selection, which gives you a 20% discount Monday through Thursday from 4 p.m. until closing time. So enjoy. For reservations, you can call 805-520-4797, or go to their web, Sutter's, the number four, dining.com on the web.
And thank you for joining us on the Writer's Block. We're speaking tonight with Carolyn Howard Johnson, who is an acclaimed award-winning novelist and poet and blogger, and you just name it, she's done it. Carolyn, welcome back to the Writer's Block.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. It's really fun being with you, too.
I have to tell you.
You should see it on this end.
I can hear it.
We have a lot of fun on this show, Carolyn. We laugh a lot.
I can see that.
I have to tell you, I read The Frugal Book Promoter, which is part of your Frugal series, and I couldn't put it down. It's a lengthy book, but there's not a dry moment in it. It's every single page, every sentence, every word needs to be there. It is chock full of what I would say are gold nuggets. And there's absolutely no fluff. It's also written non-preachy, non-condescending, non-dry, and overall is a feel that I get from you of a total love for your audience that's reading it, for the reader, for the author, for everybody that you think about as you put pen to paper. I can't say enough great things about this book. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, aren't you dear? As my husband and I have this joke, when somebody says something nice, when one of us says something nice to the other one, we put up a pretend microphone in front of their mouth and say, "Would you like to repeat that for our nationwide audience?"
First off, let me just ask you a little bit about the series and kind of, you know, what got this started, because this is not the only book in the series. Just tell us a little bit about the series.
Okay. I had just written my novel, and I was becoming aware through critique groups and other things that the industry was changing drastically because of digital printing. And I also became excruciatingly aware from the conferences that I went to and the classes that I was taking that there was a lot of what I call book bigotry in the industry, and that had always been one of my favorite themes in terms of my creative writing, not necessarily book bigotry, but bigotry in general. And so I actually queried a couple of major conferences in the area, and they would have nothing to do with marketing. They did not think that was the place of authors to market their own books, that should be done by publishers, and that there was still only one way to publish a book, and that was their way. And so I was at a party and was talking to this one gentleman, and he was teaching at UCLA, and I said, how I would love to do that, because I could share some of my theories of marketing, and really felt I could help a lot of people by doing that. And he said, well, come apply. And I said, well, I don't have a master's degree. I'm not qualified. And he said, oh no, at UCLA they intentionally choose people who have practical experience. They feel that there are times when having the practical experience is of greater value than having years old education degrees, and they give you a lot of the education that you need to handle classes free, which trust me is a fantastic program. And so it took me a while to rev up the nerve. I mean, I was uncomfortable, but I dragged myself in there, which was my first lesson in both persistence and taking care of yourself, you know, and told them that what I would like to do, and told them that I was thinking about publishing a book on it and using, ta-da, ebook technology. It was brand new. Mm. And Linda Venus was the director, and she was, she perked up her ears and says, an e-book? Let's do it. I mean, it was just that easy. Uh-huh. Let's do it. So that was probably May, and the class started in September, and I didn't have that textbook to use yet. So I had a few people that I hung around with on some, what they called listservs back then, I still call them that, on Yahoo groups. And she said, well, she thought she could help me, and she was starting a new kind of partnership publishing thing. But she encouraged me to publish it in paper, too. And so the two of us just got our heads together and did it.
Well,
that was the first edition, and it's been going ever since. That was 2003, and it's been going ever since. It's the book you read is the second edition.
And it's so timely because, in the second edition, you're addressing what's going on in the world today with, blogging and social media, and you bring everything that's probably happened since the first book. So it feels very, very timely and still as important as it would have been in the first edition.
Yeah, and, one of the things I do that I think you touched on in the introduction is that I try to make it not feel like a text. I try to make people, enjoy it, because a lot of people really still are very hesitant about marketing, especially creative people. And this book, I don't think, does that. I think it's kind of like me talking to you. I'm pretty straightforward. I tell you the stuff that works, the stuff that didn't work so well, and how to make things that might work and might not, how to make them work better. And it's very colloquial language. In fact, one of my reader reviewers on Amazon said the language was kind of funny. I guess he was used to textbooks from college.
It's lively. It does. It feels like a conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, Carolyn, let me ask you. You mentioned that promoting is sometimes very difficult for creative people. Now, again, this is a conversation Bobby and I had before we went on the air, but we were discussing how creative people walk that line between the self-promotion because they have to earn a living and then wanting to be true to their craft. You seem to have both sides nailed pretty well. Was that difficult for you, or did you have to learn to work them hand in hand?
Well, I think I had to get over a little bit of shyness, but the thing is nobody can be as passionate about whatever it is you do, from training dogs to whatever. Nobody's as passionate about what you're doing if you love what you're doing as you are.
That's true.
So who can do it better, right?
Absolutely.
And if it comes from that place, and people also understand that you want to share that with them, that you are not just trying to, in quotes, sell a book, which I think are the ugliest words in the dictionary. Oh, come buy my book. No. You're trying to make a difference for something that they're also passionate about, which is their book, their baby, their big love, and make that book reach its very best success. So if that comes across, then you're not really selling anything. You're just sharing. And it's really easy to get over being a little bit forward about it, or at least more forward than you normally would be. On the other hand, I think Trump might be ruining it for all of us. I don't know.
Yeah, he takes it to the extreme for sure.
Yeah, I think. But I think if we come at it with that, that most people, even if they think that maybe we've taken it to the extreme, at least they love us for it.
Mm-hmm. From the very beginning of the book, you're talking about things like building relationships, figuring out. You give so many great ideas for, let's say, an author whose book's not even out yet, maybe is working on the book. Start writing reviews of other people's books. You give just so many great, write down like bullet points. Just do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I got so excited as I was reading this book. I thought about musician friends that have, you know, brand new CDs that need to be doing, reading this book because they need to be doing all of these same things. You know, it's just that your wonderful references and resources, which it just is astounding. You give just page after page of, you know, click and here's all my editors. Here's, you know, here are all these resources. You have, this is a toolbox like I've never seen a toolbox before.
did you like this book, Bobby?
I did. Because I could think of how it could.
Why don't you say it like you mean it?
Right.
I could just see how it could apply. I could see how it could apply to so many folks. It's just that some of the resources that you list wouldn't necessarily work for them. But all of the, everything else, you know, prior to that, here's these resources would be perfect. The electronic press kit.
Marketing is marketing is marketing, basically.
Yeah.
All of the stuff like how to build a media kit and how to write a good query letter and all the basics that it gives. And as you mentioned, networking and sharing and all that stuff, they're the same no matter what you're doing.
Well, and you go in.
They would sure work for a dog walking business.
I mean, you even go into different kinds of pitches. You go into, you know, creating your credit, your tagline, your mini biography, your byline, things that I wouldn't even think are, they're not even documents that had occurred, you know, occurred to me. Tell us, I know it's we're going to just run out of time so quickly, but there's two things that I'd like you to quickly talk about. What is the marketing umbrella?
Oh, well, marketing is the marketing umbrella because under that comes a whole lot of other things like public relations, like publicity, the specifics, and people tend to use them interchangeably, and that's okay, but they're really a little bit different. And one of the ways I got really turned on to marketing was through a public relations course I took at USC when I had some additional hours that I needed to fill before I graduated. And the head of the department had been the former president of Western Airlines. Remember Western Airlines?
Sure. The only way to fly.
Yeah. And he wanted to teach public relations 101 because he wanted to be sure that he got the best of the best for his department. So he was not only teaching the class, he was recruiting.
Excellent.
And his enthusiasm was just amazing. And in that class, believe it or not, was Lynn Swann.
Really?
Remember Lynn Swann?
Yes. Sure, football player.
Yeah, yeah. And he was just so full of energy and funny and full of himself, too, if I must say so. But everyone just really loved him. And the whole class, I just got turned on by it. And the stuff I learned was useful during my retail stint of almost 30 years, and it has been useful ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So much about how we treat problems in life, the ones that we have with our husbands and our kids. If you know the basics of public relations, you use those basics, and it makes life lots easier.
Indeed.
In fact, I'm of the opinion that probably in high school that a good public relations or marketing class should be taught in high school to every student, mm-hmm. as well as civics.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Well, listen, where can people reach you, whether they want to contact you about what you do, or they can find your books? What are some of the places they can go for this?
You can reach me personally at hojonews@aol.com. That's like Howard Johnson, H-O-J-O, news at AOL.com. Or at howtodoitfrugally.com. You can sign up for my free newsletter called Sharing with Writers. There's a subscription form in the upper right-hand side of every page of my website, something I strongly recommend mm-hmm. people do, and I love newsletters as a way to keep loyal followers and keep in touch with people that you've met over the years. There's a huge resource for writers page on that website, So howtodoitfrugally.com.
And finally, where do people find your books if they'd like to buy one? And hopefully, this is the pitch side, you know?
Because it helps your ratings on Amazon.
Oh, there you go.
And it's easy. And Amazon may have been a pain in the neck at one time, but they do so much for authors now.
Mm-hmm. And we do have to ask the writer's block question, even though I think we know the answer, but we have to ask you, do you ever have it? And if so, what do you do about it?
I think the answer to writer's block is to take little notes when you think of them. Don't throw them away. If you have a tendency to lose them, stuff them in a pocket or into your bra. And when they float to the ground at night, pick them up and put them in a teapot right next to your computer.
I love it.
You've got writer's block that you pick one out and you don't have it anymore.
Does that mean I have to start wearing a bra?
No, your pocket. Your pocket. She said your pocket.
Notes out.
Oh, well, listen, it has been...
Did you know there's such a thing as found poems?
No, what is that?
I have one poem called Found Poems from a Sugar Bowl, and that's exactly what those are, all those little notes. Found and poems. I just spread them out on the floor one day and made another poem, you know. And
oh, amazing.
And fit together like a puzzle, yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to thank you so much for being here, Carolyn. But also, as we go out, could you read another poem for us? Do you have
one? You saved time for that.
Yes,
I
did.
You're really good.
I am.
Okay. Is it okay if I do one that's kind of serious?
Sure, please.
Or would you rather have me tell you about the wonderful man who did the artwork for the front of my poetry book, my newest poetry book, Imperfect Echoes?
This is up to you.
Which would you prefer?
It's up to you.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about him.
Okay.
He did the cover. He donated it. He is serving 25 years to life for receiving stolen property. And he has now served 26 of those years.
Oh, my gosh.
In a California state prison. And he did the artwork for my book.
Mm. Wow. And it's a beautiful cover.
It is.
It is. It's very, very interesting. He read the poems. He did barbed wire and the gas mask that appears mm-hmm. in my poem about the siege of St. Petersburg or Leningrad, as it was called then.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up little images from all of my most serious poems and put them into that artwork.
It's very interesting.
I will be forever grateful to him for just being who he is.
Wow, what a tribute. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you shared. I'm glad you shared that we had time for you to share that. That's really important.
All right,
thank you. Now we are
out of time. So, Carolyn, we are going to say thank you so much again for joining us, and I hope you'll come back again.
It has been absolutely lovely. I would never say no.
Well, thank you again. Have a great night, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Okay, thanks a lot, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Carolyn Howard Johnson. Well, what do you think?
That was so much fun.
That was great.
Yeah. So great to be here with you and share that with you tonight.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, this has been a terrific evening. Writer's Block will be with you again next week, and Jim will be back with Bobby Jean Bell. And so this is Russ saying have a great week. Bobby, any last words?
Catch us on iTunes, Google Music, and follow us on Facebook, The Writer's Block Radio Show.
All right. Take care. Thanks again, everybody. Good night.